Welcome back to the Outrage Project. My name's Josh.
This is Zach.
This is Dave.
And it's been a long time, so we appreciate the patience. I know people have been just dying for a next episode. Everyone's blowing up the DMs. And I get it, guys. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. But we're excited
There's
to be
been
back.
No one.
Not a single DM has came.
We don't get DMs. I actually don't even have the Instagram, so I have no clue. But... thank you for the patience. We're excited to be back. It's 2025 here, and we had a long sabbatical. We took a sabbatical, so we're back.
When was the last pod?
It was Joe Jackson, but I'm trying to remember what day that date that would have been.
So
it's been a hot minute.
I think it was like before youth group started.
Oh, good chance.
Let's take a look, guys. If you're watching, just shout it out.
Yeah,
yeah, just drop it in the chat.
Outreach Project.
September 23rd.
Yeah, wow.
September 2024.
That's crazy.
So, we're back. Our goal is at least monthly, if not twice a month. Every few months, we'll do at least a twice a month. So
that's a good goal.
That's our goal. We realized as we, add more responsibility to our lives, it gets harder to, number one, schedule guests because they have other responsibilities in their lives as well. And we're just getting old, man, so we can't keep up with our fast pace we used to do.
We're not that old
yet. We used to do two a night, like record two a night.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now you got to take a break for months.
When we started, we had like... four of them on deck, ready to upload.
Now was, you guys were going ham in the beginning.
Now we're
all so
what?
Now we're taking like 4 or 5 month breaks.
Oh man, just quality over quantity, you know.
You're exactly.
So we bring Dave back.
There
we
go. Yeah, Dave. This
we're starting with poor quality.
This is Dave's third time. On air.
Oh, snap.
Won't be the last.
I'm like a reoccurring guest at this
point. No, you're a host.
It won't be the last.
That's true.
Yep. Dave's going to be a core part of this, whether he likes it or not.
Dave is having a kid.
Yes.
Share about it.
Yeah. So at the time of this recording, we're like T-minus 4 weeks until we'll fly down we're going to drive down to Kansas and pick up our baby boy. So hopefully we'll be born first week of February. So yeah, it's like there, right around the corner.
Are you scared?
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. Some days I'm like, okay, I'm like, this is the most exciting thing that ever happened to me. And then other days I'm like, sitting there with like, I'm gonna be the worst. But we'll go through it.
All right, we're gonna three parenting questions for Dave. Number one, when will your kid shoot his first gun?
As soon as there's fine motor skills. No, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like you got to talk first.
Yeah.
Got to be able to talk and stand.
Well, yeah. Like five?
Probably. I feel like five is a good age. When did you guys shoot guns first?
Probably five. I don't know.
That makes like kindergarten, like you shoot a .22 for the first time. And
yeah.
And then your dad tells you to try the 12 gauge. It's not going to kick that hard.
Yeah, five. You heard it here. Five.
Do you have a parenting question for Dave?
I don't have a parenting question for Dave.
All right. Number two, what's the first thing you're going to feed your kid?
Like outside of formula?
Is it just milk? I don't know. I mean,
in the very beginning, for a while, it's like formula. And then eventually, formula? I honestly have no clue. Science?
You want me to look it up?
No.
It's like different types of like artificial milk, I'm guessing, and vitamins and all that. I have no clue.
Number three, we need to expose you. How much parental leave do you get from work?
I work for a very amazing company right now. Actually, not amazing company. I work for a very large company. I get, in total, full pay 18 weeks. So my last day will be January.
That's like longer than a pregnancy, dude.
Oh, dude.
It's not.
Definitely not. No, so my last day would be January 31st, which I believe is a Friday. And then my first day back, and I'll go part-time for like 2 weeks, will be June 9th.
4.5 months.
Technically 4 months.
And you just watch it.
18
you
weeks is 4.5 months.
Sit there, dude.
Yeah, yeah, like what do you got to do?
Take care of them. Care I don't know. I'll find out what you got to do.
You just, oh, it's crying. Change its diaper. Okay, now it sits there for another 6 hours.
If a newborn could sit there for 6 hours, that'd be really cool. It's like every 2 hours you're doing something. Like, I won't sleep more than 2 hours for a few months.
Why don't you just get a hotel and then... I'm just kidding.
just leave the baby and Natalie at home.
I'm kidding.
Let's start this episode.
Yeah. Zach, what have you been up to?
Just working, hanging out with friends. How about you?
I think I got engaged since our last episode. Yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah, because the last episode was September.
I got engaged, so that was cool. Shout out Addie.
Yeah, is she nice. The next podcast guest?
Daniel is.
Oh. Okay. Sorry, Addie.
Maybe Addie after that. We can't leak our schedule. Never mind.
Yeah. We don't have a schedule.
You guys been reading anything? Any books? Any good books?
The Bible.
That's a good book.
Not like no outside books. No.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Reading the Bible. What's our book called? Our three books called? Biblical Eldership. Paul's Vision for Deacons. And just like Christian principles.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So.
Nice.
You?
Yeah. I've just been doing a lot of parenting books. Like.
Okay.
Will They Stand by Ken Ham. So it's like about basically like training your kids in sound doctrine. So that way when they do get older, they don't turn into kids that end up leaving the church. So, and like a part of that is like being really strong on creation and like having a biblical worldview. Family Shepherds, Vody Bakum. That was a really good book. I read one recently on worship. That was really good. By Scott Annoll. It's like Sound of Worship or something. And it was basically like, how do we take worship and make it engaging, but also keep it biblical? So it was a pretty good book.
I just ordered When Sinners Say I Do.
Dude, that is a great pre-marriage book. That is a great, yes.
Yeah, I'm a sinner, she's a sinner, so.
Yep, trying to do something that is holy and you're going to mess it up. So yeah, that's fun. Oh, you will.
So today we don't have an interview for say. We're going to try to just kind of jump into this podcast world again that we've been far removed from. And so we're going to discuss just salvation. The core belief that we have is that our faith saves us. Nothing that we do can save us. It's by grace through faith, not by works, that we are saved and have eternal life with God. And I mean, just kind of growing up, did we understand that fully? How did we come around to understand that fully? And what do we do because we understand that fully? So I guess Dave kind of before this kind of typed out some questions.
Did I? Oh, yeah. Yeah, kind of like a...
like just bullet points that we can rip through. So talking on salvation, we're going to go through the how, why, can you lose it, what does genuine salvation look like? So let's just go over the how, and we're going to just let scripture do the talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it. So my, like, obviously the whole Bible is God telling us about his son. It's from Genesis to Revelation. It's a story of God's sovereign redemptive plan for his people. And you see that over and over and over again through the Old Testament and then very clearly and plainly in the New Testament. So you can go to a lot of places I think, in Scripture when you're trying to, like, okay, how do you become saved? When I go to anything regarding, like, how do you become saved? Why do we need to be saved? Can we lose our salvation? Like, some of those questions. My, like, go-to book or letter is 1 John. 1 John, yeah. So 1 John, basically, so at this point, John is the last living disciple. He's been through everything. He's been tortured, and eventually they just said, we can't kill you. And so they tossed him on a prison island and just said, you're going to die here. I forget the name of the island, somewhere over in the Mediterranean. This is where he ends up getting, like, revelation and all that goody in there. At this point of when he writes 1 John, he was most likely an elder in Ephesus, from my understanding. But he would have been, like the guy. I don't even think, like, right now in the United States, we have, like, this is the guy for the church that's directing everything. You know, like, the Catholics have the Pope. And I'm not saying John was the Pope, but he was, like, the
John
guy
was
at this
not
point.
The Pope.
Yes, none of the disciples were the Pope or apostles. So anyways.
Peter was not the Pope.
Correct. When he's writing this, we have to read it like almost essentially like our grandpa is writing it. And so you see a lot over and over. You talk about in classic John, like, he's always talking about abiding in Christ. There's a lot of, like, almost like lovey-dovey. It's like endearing. It's like it feels like your grandfather's talking to you. So the verse I go to when you say, how do you become saved? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And just a short sentence, that's salvation, right? And there's kind of this A plus B plus C or equals C, whatever. Like, this is the equation for salvation. You confess our sins. You confess your sins. That's when John the Baptist was here. He was calling everyone to repent. Even when Jesus was here, his ministry was always about repenting. And that's a core aspect of giving your life to Christ and giving your heart to Christ. You repent that of your sins. You understand that you're a sinner. And then right there, he is faithful and just to forgive. So yeah, that's kind of the verse I think I go to frequently.
There's
a lot you can go. I mean, like, you can go to Romans 9 is another passage where really talk all over is talking about salvation. You go to Ephesians. If you really want to understand, like, what is salvation? One of my favorite verses, I think Shane read it this past Sunday. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's see here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is the gospel in a sentence. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Like, that is what salvation is. That is the gospel. That's what Jesus came here to do.
Yeah, and I guess even non-Christians or atheists, or maybe not atheists, but agnostic, whatever, there's a big question of what happens to you after you die. Where do I go? And many people are like, oh, either you're reincarnated based off of your good works, or, oh, you're good. Well, heaven's a place, but hell is not, or things like that. We have clear evidence that heaven and hell both exist when you believe in your heart. Romans 10:9. If I can find it. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Mm-hmm. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. That it,
it tells you what to do.
And
it's not, sorry, it doesn't tell you what to do, because that just saying Jesus is Lord does not save you.
Right.
But that true heart belief that Christ, you are the Lord. Christ, I'm going to obey your commands. Christ, I submit to your authority. Then you live that out daily. Now, that living out isn't the act of saving you. It's that believing part. Then you're saved. And like I said earlier, non-Christians, whoever, can ultimately be like, yeah, heaven for good. Yeah, whatever. No, that's clearly not the case. No one's good. We're all children of wrath. We all deserve hell. Mm-hmm. We were born in the negative, and Christ took that burden from our lives. Put his son on the cross, put himself on the cross for that, wore that sin for us, redeemed it, wiped it clean, and when we believe, that's how he sees us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, when Christ prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them.
Yeah.
He prepared this perfect plan for us beforehand, that if we believe in him, that we'll be saved. And he'll prepare all of these good works for us before we even were born.
Yeah, and I think a really important part when talking about salvation, salvation is, right, the act of being saved from something. And so you have to understand that we are sinners by default. We don't we don't sin and all of a sudden, oh, hey, now I'm a sinner, right? You know, we sin because we are sinners. That mm-hmm. idea of the original sin from Adam has extended into mankind. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all. Right, that's everyone. Not to put anyone on blast, but like, Mary sinned. Right, we understand that like Mary was not sinless. There was one person, there was one perfect person that came, lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, exactly how it was prophesied. I mean, like, down to the T, how is prophesied that he was going to die. That's how he died. Third day, he rose again from the dead. Later on in Romans 3, it calls Christ the just and the justifier. Those are two titles that he holds. He's just to save, and he saves. So he's the just and justifier, which is like crazy.
Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We were born in sin. We were born deserving hell. That's our punishment for sin. Why? Because that separates us from Christ. It's not his holy perfection. And it's what we deserve. And so when someone, a non-believer passes away, the harsh reality is they are in hell. And it's not God is so bad because they're in hell. No, God is just because that's what they deserve. God mm-hmm. opened the door for him. He was such a good person. He's going to be like, yeah, but he didn't believe in me. He didn't call upon my name. He didn't walk in obedience with me. It's hard, but it needs to be shared because we need to share the good news with everyone who doesn't believe. It should reform the way we live to share it with everyone. Our actions should be a reflection of our salvation so all who don't believe can know him mm-hmm. through the way we talk, the way we act, the way that we openly say, hey, do you believe in Christ as your true Savior? Yes, tell me about it. It should spark mm-hmm. conversations so we can ensure in our friends and our family, our coworkers, our children, that they are saved and going to spend eternity with us. So that sounded a little dark. It sounded a little harsh, but it's the truth, and it should spark urgency in us.
the most loving thing we can do as Christians who believe there is a heaven and a hell is share with everyone who doesn't believe that there is a heaven and a hell.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Not openly just ignore it and let them walk themselves to that.
Yeah.
What other verses regarding salvation on the how or the why? I feel like those kind of...
If we really want to talk about why, yeah, I feel like the how we kind of covered really well. We can talk about why. Like, why were you saved? and it wasn't about you, you know, from the get-go. Ultimately, it was for his glory. So, yeah, Ephesians 1:11. Should, like, throw these up on the screen as we talk. You can do that, right, Zach?
It's not my turn to edit this one, bro. Josh got that. Well, yeah, we could
figure
it
out. Oh, yeah.
This one's going to be edited after David's child is born.
Yeah, they're going to start posting twice in April.
Yeah, so if you see Dave at church with a kid and then you see this episode, because it took us so long to edit.
No, so in him, so Ephesians 1:11. In him we have obtained inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works in all things according to the counsel of his will. So right there you see that we're saved because it is his will to save us, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his will. Verse 12, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to praise of his glory. And I'll come back to those next verses. But that's key, right? So we were predestined according to his purpose for his glory. That's why we were saved. In him you also heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise. That's something else we'll talk about later is, you know, we are, our salvation is secure. It is sealed in the Holy Spirit. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That last sentence, to the praise of his glory. And, I mean, I have a whole list of verses we can go down. But over and over again, the reason for our salvation is so that God may be glorified through it. Doing quite literally the impossible. You know, when there's the... one of the most misquoted verses in scripture and twisted is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Or all things are possible with Christ. That idea of the impossible is a sinner being holy. That's completely impossible. Yet Christ makes it possible positionally. He sees us as holy and blameless and righteous. And then when we get to heaven, that's what he's going to see. And so, praise be, because it's when we get to heaven, you know, there's the, I feel like every pastor uses a sermon illustration at some point of, you know, what's going to be your excuse when you get to heaven? You know, why are you here? The only response we're going to be able to even say is because of Christ. That's just going to come out because that's all that happened. It was for his glory.
So, I think our biggest conversation now is going to be, okay, we understand we're saved through
by grace through faith.
Okay, we're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We understand that. We understand why, because of his sovereign plan for our lives. Now what do we do because we're saved?
Yeah.
How are we supposed to act? How are we supposed to behave? And I think we're going to lean in 1 John. I think we're going to lean in James. We're going to lean in Romans. Zach, what do we do because we're saved?
I mean...
How do you personally respond because you're saved?
I mean, I think sanctification is something you can throw out there, the act of becoming more holy. I mean, obviously, none of us will be truly holy until we are in heaven with God.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you have to do things and rely on God to help you do things to continually strive towards that after your salvation. I mean, and you will be prompted by the Holy Spirit to do those things. I mean, James is a great book of all the things that we need to do. I mean,
Godly living.
Yeah.
Let's kind of pause at sanctification. And I think to understand sanctification, you have to understand the difference between justification.
Sure.
Justification is past tense, when you were saved immediately from death's penalty. That's or sin's penalty, sin, death, same thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a once and done thing.
And done. Now, that doesn't mean you say the prayer. If you don't truly mean it and you don't truly believe it, you're not saved. But if you do, it's that one time, once moment. Okay, if you were to die, 30 seconds later, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are saved.
Absolutely.
Sanctification is from that point to death.
Yeah.
It's that up and down hills and valleys of walking with Christ, and it is not an easy path.
Mm-hmm.
We're told it's not an easy path. If you want to be popular, do not follow Christ, because you will not be. It's the path of walking away from the world, separating yourself from the world, and trying to get as close to Him as possible, letting Him work in your life to get to Him as close as possible. So my Bible notes and all three of our Bible notes would word it as saved progressively from sin's power.
Mm-hmm.
And then that future tense of glorification, saved ultimately from sin's presence. Well, when you die, you are then removed from sin for the rest of eternity, because you are forever with Christ Jesus in heaven.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be resting in that sanctification. I'm going to flip to James if you have anything, Dave.
Yeah. There's so many aspects to what the sanctification look like. You talk about discipline. You can talk about things you should look for. Like I said, I love 1 John. It's got to be one of my favorite books in the Bible. Right off the bat in 1 John, verse 3 and 4, talks about two things, fellowship and joy. And so when you're looking and you're evaluating your Christian life, is there a longing for fellowship with believers, especially, but also do you have a fellowship with Christ? Or is it a weekly, every Sunday, you know, you say the prayer or do whatever you're supposed to do, sing the song, and that's your fellowship with Christ for the week. If that's the case, you know, I would really start to reevaluate your life a little bit. And then that presence of joy. In James, it talks about, you know, we're supposed to find joy in trials. We're supposed to have that joy, and joy doesn't always mean like rejoicing and happy and like, yay, like I got fired, whoopee, you know, like, or oh, this just happened, just wrecked my car, this is a trial, or I'm going through,
or even like real trials of, hey, my spouse died, or,
yes, yeah. You don't need to be jumping for joy for that's not what joy is. Joy is essentially this, it's a mixture, at least the way I would define it, is like peace and trust walking together, right? It's this idea of I can have peace in this moment because my identity and my eternal value was not tied into my spouse that just died. You know, it wasn't tied into this diagnosis I just got. My eternal identity is tied into who Christ is, and what He did for me on the cross, and that's kind of a driving force. Not saying that Christians can be sad and at times depressed and anxious. Like, absolutely, I think Christians can go through seasons like that. But ultimately, that joy of peace, and I'm trusting in God's faithfulness. Again, in Romans 3, it talks about that if God's faithfulness is not nullified because of our faithlessness, right? Just because we don't have faith and we lack faith at times, it doesn't mean God stops being faithful. He's consistent. He's the only consistent thing in your life. So with that, those are two things I kind of look at. There's a lot of things, and hopefully we get talked about more in 1 John as well, but like fellowship and joy, do you see those things present in your life? If not, work on growing those. You know, if you believe you have a true saving faith, like, ask God for wisdom in that. God, I don't desire fellowship with other Christians. That's a problem. If you're a Christian and you don't desire fellowship with other Christians, or, hey, I can just do church online, you know, that's a problem, you know, especially if you're able to be with a body. Mm-hmm. You need to be with a body. Do you have joy in those moments? Those are two things I look at.
But. Well, I think we should jump into James 2. Faith and Works is the title. Mm-hmm. And once again, we are going to clarify this over and over and over again.
We are saved by works.
No.
Exact opposite. No. We are saved.
I'm going to clip that and send it to your adoption agency.
No, I'm not Catholic.
Oh, my gosh.
What? That's a big part of...
We are saved by grace through faith.
By grace through faith. The justification by faith alone and Christ alone is a pillar of what Christianity is.
Of course.
We don't work our way there.
Of course. And that's what I was going for. Maybe not the... We're not Catholics.
We're Protestants.
Of course. And there is a difference, and we would not claim that. We pray for our Catholic brothers and sisters.
Absolutely, yeah.
our good friend was Catholic and just got baptized into the Protestant faith.
Praise God.
Well, while we were away, and is walking very, very, very firm in truth and seeking God's wisdom and being steadfast in his faith, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, faith and works. What's the difference here? Because, I should do good things because I'm Christian, and there's all these lists of rules and laws that I need to follow, and if I don't, I'm a sinner. But if I do, like, it's confusing to some. But let's try to break this down. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Mm. So our works are a reflection of our faith and absolutely should be a reflection of our faith. You believe God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. The demons believe in the Lord. Now, the demons don't believe in the Lord as their one and only Savior, mm-hmm. but they know who God is. They know his power. They know he's eternal. They know all of his characteristics, probably better than most of us.
100% better than us.
But yet they lead people daily to hell.
Yeah.
And so... what are we doing differently than the demons? Mm-hmm. Because they also believe our faith should not be faith of demons. Our faith should be faith that has works. Mm-hmm. Good works that glorify Christ and lift up his name. Not our name, but his name. Where's the... 17. This is a classic. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Now, as we kind of rewind to our previous conversation of justification, sanctification, obviously if you are justified in Christ and die 30 seconds later, you didn't have much opportunity to show works. That doesn't mean you just go to hell because you didn't show works.
Yeah.
But a true saving faith has reflection of works.
Yeah. I don't know who said it. I'm going to say my friend Reese McCart said it because that's the last person I remember saying it.
Shout out, dude.
Yeah, shout out Reese. He was on.
He was a vet.
He was a 2024 episode.
Yeah.
Or 2023.
2024.
He was pretty early on. Anyways, something that he says frequently is, faith is the roots of the tree, right, of our story, and works is the fruit, right? So faith is the roots. Works is the fruit. That's the very tangible evidences that we can see.
Yeah, verse 26, James 2:26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. You can have a faith without works, but it's dead. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be a believer with dead faith or a believer with faith like the body with the spirit, which is alive? I would probably choose alive, but,
Yeah.
Are there any, I guess, actions a believer must partake in because of their salvation?
Feet washing.
Hundred percent. If you don't wash feet, going to hell. You heard it here.
Oh my gosh!
Not at all.
Oh man. Oh my gosh. That's so good.
Hey Dave, you're done.
Oh man. Yes. Now, I just want to be super clear when we talk about this, which we have been. There's been a lot of things I could have been misquoted on so far, but I'm not going to get misquoted on this. There is no amount of bad works you can do to lose your salvation. There's no amount of sin or evil you can do that can take your salvation away. It's very clear. Now, that does not mean that, okay, I prayed the prayer one Sunday, word for word after the pastor, I'm going to go kill someone now, and I'm cool, right? It doesn't mean that that's not going to be your motivation. Throughout the Gospel of John into the Little Johns, over and over again, you see this idea of abide. Abide in Christ, abide in us, abide in God. It's this idea of we are walking with Christ, and the more you walk with Christ, the more you start to emulate Christ, the more you start wanting to be like him and reproduce some of those good works. I don't think it's you're going to be thinking like, oh, I've done my good work for the week. It just kind of happens. Mm-hmm. Conversations happen. The Lord will give you doors to walk through and situations to act in.
As you continue to delight yourself in the Lord, he changes your desires.
Mm. Which, and there you go. There's a question. Josh, how do you delight yourself in the Lord?
Oh, and then we're going to get back to the... Mm-hmm. Okay, good. You continuously are in the Word of God.
Woo! Yes!
Can we name drop a student that dropped wisdom?
Yeah.
Gavin Shepherd.
Yes.
Gavin Shepherd. I've used this over and over and over again. So thank you, Gavin Shepherd, for your wisdom in this. But I paraphrase it because I don't remember it exactly. But he shared in our Sunday night sophomore guys group, Dave and I lead. He was like, hey, guys, if your mom were to pass away, but she left a book with all her wisdom and life advice, would you read that the next day? And we're like, yeah. He was like, Christ did the same thing.
Yeah,
yet we continuously put that aside for other needs in our life. No, we should be waking up in the morning thrilled to live the day that the Lord has blessed us with and thrilled to get into his word and guidance that he left us to prepare the way that we should live. That also should be tied in with prayer. When Christ rose again, we have, it's been called the direct line to God. It's not a cell phone you pick up and hear back. But we can pray to the Lord, and it's very simple. It's just, hey, God, or dear Lord, and get on your knees sometimes and show reverence. But we have a communication and a relationship with the Lord Jesus to where we can simply speak and he hears. We can speak and he answers. Now, it's not a verbal answer. That's not a. you're not gonna. Your mom's not gonna walk in your room and be like, "Oh, I'm God, and I'm telling you this now." No. Yeah. But you're better equipped as you read His Word to hopefully hear what He wants you to hear. You're better equipped as you go out into life to discern things that He wants you to hear. God speaks through people. God speaks through His Word, immensely through His Word. He can speak through a sermon. He can speak through a song. He's not limited. Just it's not as simple as this right now, back and forth. So that's how I would say you delight yourself in the Lord.
I mean, yeah, God speaks through the Word because He is the Word. I mean, you got to look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yeah. And He was in the beginning with God. I mean, it's right there in the text.
Yeah.
God is this book is God. Like not like not this physical book, but the words in this.
Yeah.
Is God in the written form. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah,
to an extent, yeah,
we don't worship Scripture.
No, we don't worship the book. We worship the God in the book.
In Scripture, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Dave, because we delight ourselves with Him, because we desire that relationship, and we are sanctified through Christ, what are we then to do?
Three very simple things. And this can be... You know, you can start to bridge this out into what that ends up looking like. But going back to 1 John 5, those first five-ish verses, everyone who believes, there's over and over again in 1 John, you see a litmus test that's provided. This is what a true Christian looks like, right? So everyone who believes, that's the first thing. Do you have a genuine belief? Not just an intellectual, I understand Christ existed.
Not an acknowledgement.
And not an acknowledgement, right? Like, I haven't finished it yet. Wesley Huff, he's this guy, he like studies ancient Greek and Hebrew stuff.
Christian Huff's brother?
I have no clue. Is he Canadian? Anyways, so this guy, he goes on Joe Rogan recently. but no, and he presents basically the gospel and Scripture. And even Joe Rogan, who's very much not a Christian, acknowledges that Jesus was a literal person. He actually existed. He actually had followers. There was a church thing that happened and exploded, and it's obviously still here today. Ancient manuscripts have been provided about his life. So Joe Rogan, not a Christian, not a believer, right now not going to heaven, acknowledges that Jesus exists. But that's different than a belief, a genuine belief. So number one, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the Savior, is the Messiah who has been born of God? Everyone who loves, that's the second thing. Do you love the Father? Do you love Christ? Are you seeking that relationship with Him? And then the third thing in verse 2, when we love God, so if you, I believe Christ, I believe Jesus is the Christ, I love the Father. When we love God, we obey His commandments. Do you have a desire in your life to obey the things in Scripture?
That doesn't mean you're perfect at it.
No, you're absolutely not.
Nope.
100%. But when you read a commandment in Scripture that is, say, countercultural, that doesn't make sense with our culture, do you say, I'm going to side with culture on this one? Or are you going to say, this is what the Word of God says, I'm going to side with the Word of God? Maybe you look like an idiot for some time. You know, in the book I was reading, Will They Stand by Ken Ham, he talks, and Ken Ham's like 60, 70, I don't know, grew up in Australia. And at that time, evolution was like being introduced to schools, and it was like a really big thing. But he understands. He talks to his dad, who's a pastor, and he's like, but we don't believe in evolution because it's not what the Bible says. And we've mapped out the Bible, and it doesn't seem like it's millions and millions of years old. So how do we deal with that? And at that time, they had no like Christian scientists. There was no explanation for some of like the Grand Canyon and different. There's a lot of different things you can look at for that supports a young Earth. They had nothing. But over and over in that book, Ken Ham says that him and his family said, we're going to stand on the Word of God. And we're going to say, if this is what the Word of God says, this is what I believe. And so that's part of obeying God's commands. You talk about loving your brother, not hating your brother, not lying. There's a lot of things that go into obeying. But do you have that genuine desire, almost like a need in your soul, to obey God's commandments?
I have two things on that. Tying in obeying and believing. Mm-hmm. Our boy Rick, he challenged me to memorize this verse. I haven't memorized.
Shout out Rick.
But we're on. Shout out Rick. No shot he's listening. He challenged. I do have it memorized, but I'm going to read it because it's just smoother that way. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so that's not saying, like what that's not saying is your works get you into heaven. That's not saying you following these actionable commandments gets you into heaven, because they don't. But when you believe, you obey. And when you don't believe, you don't obey. And so the wrath of God abides on him who does not obey. Why? Because he doesn't believe. One non-scripture kind of metaphor, simile, whatever, analogy. It's not a simile. I could probably make it one.
That's a comparison using like as.
Yeah, I could make it one, maybe.
That's a good definition.
Would be, okay, I believe in gravity, but I also act and obey the laws of gravity because and my lifestyle reflects that I believe in gravity. Why? Because when I sit down in this chair, I'm not afraid. Or when I stand up, I'm not afraid that I'm going to fly up into space. I can jump. I can walk confidently because I know I'm going to come back down to Earth. Well, if you believe in Christ, your actions should reflect that you believe in Christ, just like your actions reflect that you believe in gravity.
Yeah. Absolutely. And again, that's not saying that you're perfect. I feel like we can just say that on repeat.
I'm not perfect. Yeah. I sinned today.
Yeah. Isaiah and in Romans 3, it talks about, you know, their throats are open graves. We were talking about this past week with my small group. And I was like, yeah, I can remember a lot of times today where my throat was an open grave, like where I just said something that was sinful, verbalized it, not even just thought it, right? So we're not perfect. To be a Christian and to have a deep relationship with the Lord, you ought to be living a daily life of repentance. And that's not like... I don't even know how to...
Don't take a notebook to every single sin you do. And then you have to pray through every sin. And if you don't pray for the specific sin, that doesn't mean you don't repent.
Yes. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is Psalm 51. David says, cleanse me of my sins.
Earlier, Jesus kind of says it too. God...
Okay, I was like, no, Jesus never prayed for his sins.
No, but...
Yeah.
Inspired by
Christ. I understand what you're saying. Earlier in Psalms, David also says, you know, forgive me of my hidden sins, my hidden faults. You sin and you don't even know it sometimes, or you forget. And we've sinned. And so that's just all to say that living a life of obedience is not going to be perfect, and you may have seasons of just resistance. I know I've had those seasons of where I've actively like just resisted the things of God, resisted the Word, neglected to get in the Scripture, neglected to stay away from foolish controversies and stuff like that. And in those seasons, I just my relationship kept getting further and further away. But the thing that brought me back was repentance. I've talked about that youth group before too. I feel like it's a common thing of you're praying, and it the way I used to describe it when I was a teenager was like I'm praying to a brick wall, like I'm just talking to myself. This isn't I'm not going anywhere with this. And that feeling, what I ended up getting challenged with by a mentor was, I think you got some sin you need to talk about with God, and you've been avoiding. And so dealing with that sin, laying that at Christ's feet, because we're commanded to do that boldly, we can approach the throne. And then my relationship with the Lord started to repair. And then, so your relationship will probably breathe over time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and like we're saying, when you follow Christ, it's not just this uphill trajectory towards heaven.
If only, right?
It's not easy. You're going to be thrown temptations. Now, when you're thrown temptations, 1 Corinthians 10:13 shares with us. If you give me 1 second, guys.
It's like Bible ASMR.
When you face temptations, you can understand that no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So when you have Christ, you're not going to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Christ will provide a way out. You have to want the way out. You have to seek the way out. Mm-hmm. Probably pray and struggle a little bit for that way out. But he's going to walk aside you through all things, but you're not going to be perfect in it. There's going to be times you don't take the way out. There's going to be times when you hang out at a place you shouldn't, watch something you shouldn't, say something you shouldn't, think something you shouldn't. It's just going to happen. But do you repent? Are you convicted? Are you seeking Christ even through the ups and downs? Now, what happens if I walk away from Christ? Is that possible?
What do you think?
Dave, I grew up in the church. This is hypothetical, pardon me. I grew up in the church, very strong Christian home. I didn't miss a Sunday of church until 8th grade when I was sick, okay? Then I went off to college, I partied, I did drugs, I smoked, I turned gay, and stopped following Christ. Am I still saved from then? Let me finish it. The rest of my life, I do not follow Christ. I do not believe in Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I turn away from that faith. So let's talk about this.
Yeah, because that's a very normal thing, at least in the United States, that happens. It's a very common story for the most part.
It's a scary thing for parents.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Absolutely, it is. It's terrifying. I don't even have a kid yet, and that's what I think.
Yeah.
We won't go down that terrible path of my thoughts. But ultimately, for me to sit here and say yes or no would be almost impossible.
Fair.
There's a common misconception that Christians cannot judge. Now, our society views judgments a little differently. We view it when typically you said, you know, you're being judged. There's this idea of like, I'm in my ivory tower casting down arrows of, you know, contempt towards you with my nose in the air. There's that type of judgment. And then there's a type of judgment of almost it's discerning.
Or accountability.
Accountability, yeah. Of you, Josh, that has grown up in the church, didn't miss church till you're in 8th grade. you tell me that you're on the same team as me, right? You're wearing the same jersey. that Christian jersey. It's kind of up to me a little bit. I'm supposed to test the spirits. I'm supposed to test and see, does your life line up with Christianity and with what the Bible teaches? Not ultimately me. I don't slam a gavel down and say, yep, you're going to hell. No, that's not necessarily how that works. But eventually I start to treat, as Scripture says, treat you like a Gentile, right? Which is, all I do then is share the gospel with you, because I don't believe that you have accepted Christ. I don't think there was that genuine first belief, love, and obedience, and repentance. Even like in that story, which I know yours was hypothetical, but I've heard a lot of people will say that, I went to church growing up.
Yeah.
And you just, if you listen to the words, I went to church growing up, I did Sunday school, I was on the, you know, the high school leadership team. I even went to a small group in college, and then I just eventually fell away. Everything they listed was works. Nothing was about, I had a deep and growing relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I would say, can a Christian have a time of wilderness, you know, a time where you are maybe running from God because of sin, or because of something that happened, maybe like I've seen in my life where several just crappy things happened, two people died in my life, and then something happened in my family, and it was just like a time of like, I was just angry at God. And so there's just like kind of like active running away, like a Jonah situation. And ultimately, if you have a genuine saving faith, your faith will persevere towards the end, right? You will start to turn. I've seen it. I've seen it in people's lives where they have actually said like, yeah, I'm not about this anymore. And then there's a realization X amount of years, months, whatever later of, oh no, like, I do love the Lord, and I've just been living in sin, and I've been living in sin so long that it's so hard to get back to God, and I'm longing for that, and so I'm trying to fill it, with alcohol, I'm trying to fill it with a good time, I'm trying to fill it with, you know, video games, like my life was video games, always trying to fill it with video games, and or friends, or whatever it is, you're trying to fill that thing in your life, and it just, nothing's working, right? And at some point you come to a conclusion of, I need more. I need something. And at that point, do you turn towards God or do you turn away? Ultimately, like I said, it's not for me to make that call. But I would say no. Ultimately, no, a Christian cannot lose their faith. That is really clear. We won't flip to all the verses, but Matthew 1:21, John 17:9, Matthew 26:28, Romans, the whole book of Romans. You don't even have to really do individual verses. Chapters 8 and 9 really talk about a lot too. This idea of our faith will persevere towards the end. It will hit the finish line. Those that have been given to Christ cannot be snatched. There's the Paul Washer quote that's so good. There's no mountain or molehill, I think he says, or clown or cricket that can separate you or that can outweigh what Christ did on the cross. There's nothing. If you take everything in the galaxy and the world and the universe, put it on one side of the scale and put Christ on the other, Christ outweighs them all. And so there's nothing you can do that can make you lose your salvation. But to answer your question, Can a Christian at times spend a time of running?
Yeah.
100%. And if you're that Christian right now, stop running. Turn back to the Lord. Open up your Bible. Pray. Repent.
Pray. Repent. Come to church. Come find us at church. Come find Shane, Rob, Brad, whoever at church. We would love to see you walk and abide in Christ's love and just stop.
Yeah.
Please stop. Paul in Romans says, like, he begs, and he would, what is it, 11? Romans 11, where he's like, I would much rather, like,
I think I know what you're getting at.
I would much rather, maybe it's 10.
While you find that, for all the people listening, if you're not in your Bible, a really fun place to start is Romans. You'll learn a lot about the Christian faith in Romans, and you'll learn a lot of deep, deep things about God that are just really fun. Shout out Romans.
Regardless of... Around that area in Romans, I believe, excuse me, Paul is essentially like, no, I would much rather you guys know Christ than I, because I know it's glory, and I want that so bad for all of my brothers. We should want that the same way for all of our brothers and sisters when we are walking with Christ. And so, if that is you in life, like we honestly are begging you, to walk in obedience with Christ, to pray, repent, open your Bible. I'm begging you to come to church. Like, we would love that community and that just love of Christ for you. One other, holy cow, one other point, Dave, on like, hey, there's this big misconception of Christians aren't to judge. Roman or 1 Corinthians 5, 12. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church, but those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. So we don't have to worry about other people outside the church. I mean, yes, we should be evangelizing. We should be begging them to come to faith. Absolutely. We should be living our faith so that they may know Christ. Absolutely. We weren't supposed to judge their sin or be like, oh, what is he doing? Yeah. We don't expect a non-Christian to act Christian. Are you kidding me? But we are called to hold our brothers and sisters accountable within the church and quote, judge the church. But that judging is a loving judge, not a, I'm so good, you're a stupid judge.
Yeah, it's not a Pharisee judge.
No, and so when we see... A Christian or someone claiming to be a Christian walking in this disobedience or walking away from faith, supposedly. We don't think that's possible, but whatever.
Running. They can
yes, run. Yes, running in the wilderness. You're not losing your faith. You're just struggling. Or even someone that doesn't have faith but says they're a Christian, struggling. We're called to... go talk to them. We're called to be there for them. Is it Matthew 5? That's kind of that. Your brother's sin, go talk to them. Bring two. Is that 5 or 10?
I can't remember.
I'm not going to find it. But
no, yeah, but that idea of, you know, if your brother is sinning, you go one-on-one.
Yeah.
Multiple, and then bring it before the church. And then at the end of that conclusion, though, is treat them like a Gentile. Now, that's not like, again, fiery arrows of contempt and judgment at you. It's how did they treat Gentiles back then? They shared the good news with them.
Yeah.
So if you, I think if you're a Christian, that you have a friend that's seeming to be like avoiding God or running away from the truth, I think your duty as a Christian is to share the gospel, remind them of the gospel. You don't go in and say, brother, I don't think you're saved anymore. Were you ever saved in the first place? No, that's horrible
thing to say. That's not our place to know or decide, and I'm glad it's not.
But you say, like, brother or sister, like, Christ died for your sins specifically, right? His sacrifice on the cross was totally efficient for you, and remind them of that, and remind and call them to obedience. And hey, this is a path I've seen you go down. And I think if you're that Christian having that conversation, don't expect a Hallmark moment.
Oh, no.
You know, I can think of times where people have done that for me in my life, and I did not respond like a Hallmark moment. I was angry. I was like, why is this person so judgmental? And I've been on the opposite side of that as well, of trying to help a brother, and then like a relationship actually was like broken for many years because of a situation like that. So it's not always pretty, but reminding them of the gospel and calling them to obedience and to love the Lord is exactly what we're supposed to do. That's our duty. We're supposed to sharpen each other and hold each other up. The church doesn't work well individually at all.
Don't be selfish.
Yeah.
God's relationship with you is not just for you.
Yeah. I think another just important thing, this is one of my all-time favorite passages. I shared it last year with the seniors all the time in youth group. So it's shout out those guys. Awesome. Love you guys. 1 Thessalonians 5. If you kind of want practically, okay, I'm a Christian, what do I do now? here are some things to do. Kind of starting in 13, be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. When you ask yourself, what is God's will for my life? Here it is. It's those verses, right? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for your life.
Abstain from every form of evil.
Oof.
We are not negotiating with Satan in our lives. Nope. If something's evil, you cut that off.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I think we hit everything.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I could sit here and talk all night about different stuff.
Let's do a quick little recap. So, we are not saved by our works.
Yes, we're not saved by our works. Which, sidebar, real quick, during this little summary, every major religion will point you to works.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing, whether it's Islam, Mormonism, Hinduism, like Catholicism, like they will all point you towards you have to do X, Y, and Z in order to get up to this certain standing. And then there's X, Y, and Z you can do that will knock you off that standing. And then if you really do one of the bad ones, you're really just off and you're done. And there's no redemption. Christianity and the good news of Christ is the only quote-unquote religion that says the work's been done and the work was done by Christ.
It is finished.
It is done, yes. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. So there's my little sidebar.
Yeah. So we're not saved by works. It is by grace through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Yeah.
Simple yet complicated.
Yeah.
So that's the how.
Mm-hmm.
The why. Well, because this was Christ's plan for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Simple yet complicated.
Yep. And for his glory and his glory alone.
Yes, this is what he wanted. Three. What's our the how we respond? Well, we go and we share this good news with everyone that we know and everyone that we come in contact with. We repent of our sins. We rid the sin from our lives and we seek to be sanctified through Christ in all aspects of our life, not negotiating with Satan, mm-hmm. the different areas of our life, not just giving giving the Lord my family, but I want my personal time, or mm-hmm. hey, you can have me at work, but not when I'm at school or whatever. Nope, that's not how it works. You give Christ your all, and because of your faith, you complete good works that he's already prepared for you in advance, and you repent of your sins, you continue to seek him, mm-hmm. and you will live a glorious life in heaven once we ultimately die.
Yeah. There's that belief, you know, the belief, genuine belief in Christ, that he is your Savior and was the prophesied Messiah. There's the we love God, and we love Christ for what he did. We love Christ for who he is. And out of that love, obedience flows. Absolutely.
Oh, cool. Because of this, we hope to see you all Sunday. This is not coming out tomorrow.
Yeah,
it might, actually. We hope to see you all the Sunday following this episode. Please come talk to us. We are really excited about ramping up this year. Dave, we would love for you to return. Maybe, dependent. we're excited about some new guests. We got Daniel cooking. We got Addie soon. Who else, Zach?
You guys can get your parents on?
Maybe.
You heard it here.
No, you didn't hear it here.
Parents episode.
I'll mediate. We promised a two-part parent Christmas schedule. Or special.
In 2023.
Wow.
And our buddy Carson was listening and texted me. He was like, dude, where's the Christmas special?
Yeah.
Like, it happens. Life gets busy. I'm sorry, guys. We did not have the two-part Christmas parent special, but maybe this year. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. No, this is a year of no promises.
Yeah, we made a lot of promises last year that we didn't pull through on. And I want to apologize to everyone.
We're back every week. Six episodes.
6 months later.
We averaged one episode every 2 months last year. Let's ramp those numbers up.
All right, we're going to ramp up. Maybe a new logo. You might be doing for a new logo. I don't know.
Do we have a logo?
Yeah, the...
We're not. No, it's staying the same until we're done, bro.
Dude, we've aged since then.
Not that much.
Most definitely. But anyways, it's been awesome. Please leave us feedback. If you like this kind of thing as opposed to an interview, let us know.
Also, let us know what topics you guys want to hear about, or books of the Bible you want to hear about, or anything like that.
Yeah.
What's so funny?
He's just trying to think of the most controversial issues. And he's holding his tongue. Oh, man. I want to read one more verse before we're done. No. So this is Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. What a good verse. What a good conclusion to what our salvation is.
Amen. Hey, thank you. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.